Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Indus Infra Trust Q3 FY26 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Amit Kumar Singh, Chief Executive Officer of the Investment Manager. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Singh.
Thanks, Anju, and good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us for the Indus Infra Trust conference call for the quarter ended 31st December 2025. We really appreciate your continued engagement and confidence in our trust. I'll begin with a brief macro and sectoral overview, followed by an update on our portfolio performance and capital allocation approach and outlook. Harshil will then walk you through the financial details. The operating environment for road infrastructure in India continues to remain structurally strong. The national highway network has expanded meaningfully over the past decade with a sharp increase in access control corridors, four-lane highways, and expressways. Execution under Bharatmala Pariyojana has progressed steadily, with more than 21,500 km completed out of 26,400 km phase one award pipeline, and a significant proportion of those projects are implemented under HAM framework, reinforcing the long-term visibility of annuity-based cash flows across the sector. During the quarter, the cabinet approved large highway projects aggregating over 20,000 crores across Odisha and Maharashtra. These approvals underscore the continued policy commitment to long-term infrastructure creation, regional economic development, and multimodal integration. In the recently announced Union Budget for FY27, the CapEx expenditure for FY26 is estimated at 12.2 lakh crore, reflecting a continued step-up in public investment. Within this, allocation towards the roads and highways sector under the MoRTH continue to remain one of the largest components of central capital expenditure, at roughly a quarter of the total CapEx, broadly in line with the previous year's CapEx. This sustained prioritization of highways reinforces the long-term commitment to network expansion and asset creation, which is structurally supportive for road investments as assets mature and enter monetization pathways over time. Against this backdrop, our portfolio performance during Q3 remains stable and in line with expectation. For the quarter, the board has approved a distribution of ₹3.40. Breakup for that is ₹1.44 as interest and ₹1.96 as capital repayment per unit to be paid to unit holders as of the record date, which is 6th of February 2026, which will be paid on and before 13th of February 2026. This is broadly consistent with the distribution trajectory communicated earlier and remains aligned with the underlying cash flow profile of the trust. For the nine-month period, cumulative distribution, including the distribution approved by the board in yesterday's meeting, stands at ₹10 per unit, keeping us on track relative to our stated annual guidance. We remain actively engaged on the acquisition pipeline, driving the next phase of our portfolio expansion. We executed share purchase agreement for acquisition of four HAM assets owned by KNR Constructions Limited. This acquisition of the SPVs is in line with the investment strategy of our trust, which is to be yield accretive to existing unit holders, ensuring stable distribution and increase in the life of the InvIT, which is happening by  1.13 years. During the quarter, we have also added one ROFO asset, which is GR Bahadurganj Private Limited from GR Infra Projects, and we are currently evaluating a few more assets from GR that we intend to add to our portfolio before 31st March 2026. The details of the same will be disclosed to the exchanges in accordance with the regulatory requirements. Looking ahead, we need to remain mindful of the interest rate movements, execution timelines, quality of assets being acquired, and capital market conditions. I'll now request Harshil to take you through the financial performance. Post that, we'll be happy to take any questions you'll have. Over to you, Harshil.
Thanks, Amit. Coming to Q3 FY26 performance on a standalone basis, the interest income on the loan extended by the trust to the SPVs was 187.41 crores, as against 189.24 crores in the last quarter. The decrease in the interest income was on account of debt repaid by SPVs during the last quarter, amounting to 56.31 crores. The dividend received during the quarter from the SPVs was 7.75 crores, which was utilized for distribution during the last quarter. Further, coming to EBITDA, excluding impairment for the quarter was 191.02 crores. The impairment was primarily on account of difference between fair value and book value of investment. The reduction in the fair value of investment was on account of the repo rate cut during the last quarter. The total external borrowing at the trust level stands at 2,425 crores, and the interest income on the same, interest cost on the same during the quarter was 39.87 crores. The tax outflow getting represented for the quarter was only on the other income at 42.744%. The profit for the quarter stood at 87.50 crores. During the quarter, we had completed the acquisition of Bahadurganj Araria project, and the refinancing of external debt in the SPV was also completed during the quarter. Accordingly, as on 31st March 2025, there is no external debt in the SPV. Coming to the 9 months FY26 standalone financials, total income stood at 597.28 crores with an EBITDA excluding the impairment impact of 573.93 crores. As compared to 9 months FY25, the fall in revenue is on account of the lower dividend upstream by the SPVs. During the 9 months FY25, dividend distributed by the SPVs was higher on account of the release of encumbered cash by the SPVs, which we had acquired as part of the IPO. Finance cost during the period was 115.72 crores, which is on account of increased borrowings as compared to last year, which was partially offset by the reduction in the borrowing cost. Borrowings in December 2024 was around 1800 crores as against 2425 crores as on 31st December 2025. On a consolidated basis, during the quarter, the total income was 198.20 crores, which consisted of 179.12 crores from revenue from operations and other income of 19.08 crores. The revenue from operation includes finance income of 135.61 crores and revenue from contracts, which includes your O&M, COS, utility and claims for the quarter, stood at 43.51 crores. Excluding the impact of pass-through expenses as well as income, the O&M expense during the quarter was 24.90 crores as against 23.15 crores during the last quarter. Out of the total revenue from contracts of 43.51 crores, it includes 18.61 crores towards COS and utility shifting. Coming to the NDCF at the SPV level, cash flow from operations of the SPVs and other income of the SPVs stood at 322.52 crores. The release of the O&M reserve during the quarter was, including the release of the O&M reserve, the total NDCF worked out to 447.94 crores, out of which 441.25 crores was upstream to the InvIT. Post adjusting for finance cost, desired reserve, trust level expenses, the NDCF worked out to 158.78 crores, which has been presented in the slide 9 of the investor presentation, out of which 150.60 crores is proposed to be distributed. The form of distribution has already been mentioned by Amit just a while back. The record date for the distribution is February 6, 2025. Thank you, and we are open to questions now.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Once again, a reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question comes from the line of Sarvesh Gupta with Maximal Capital. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir, and thank you for taking my questions. So, sir, first question is that how should we look at the equity IRRs from the KNR assets and the other assets that we are acquiring?
So the equity IRR and equity IRR for KNR as well as the GR assets, what we are looking, you know, as we said, is basically yield accretive, if you say. GR assets, what we acquired was in the range of, you know, around 12%, what we have been doing over the last, whatever, you know, I think 7th, 9th now, this is 10th asset what we acquired. This is in the same range, and the KNR is a little higher than that.
Okay. And what are the timeline for the acquisition of KNR assets?
KNR assets, we are trying that two of the four assets, if we can acquire within this quarter. We are just trying on the best of our basis. Not very sure about that. May happen, may not happen as well, because it's a function of your lenders' approvals, NHAI approvals, right? And KNR performing those condition precedents. So I think if that suppose done, then we should be acquiring those two KNR assets, which is KNR Palni and Ramagiri, within this quarter. And two of the Kerala assets, that most likely will be next quarter. So maybe next year, next quarter, maybe it could be Q1, could be Q2 as well.
Okay. And so what
Mr. Gupta, sorry for interrupting. Your voice is breaking, and can you come a little closer to the mic and speak, please?
Is it better now?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah, so we distributed 3.4 this quarter. So what will be your guidance for the DPU after the acquisitions of all these new assets?
So that most likely will come for the next year, and that will get included in the next year guidance. And next year guidance, I think most likely, you know, will be giving, you know, once we give the result for say Q4, that will be sometime say around May. So in the next quarter, we'll be able to give a proper guidance, because see what happens in the asset acquisition, a lot of prove-up also happens, right? So until that we finally acquire at what value, then only we'll be able to give guidance, proper guidance. So I think that we should be able to give you better in the next next quarter, which is over the call, which is going to happen, say somewhere in the end April or maybe, you know, first half of May.
But since this year you were going to, let's say, distribute around 13.4 or 13.5, and you are saying that these are yield accretive acquisitions, so ideally at least this much or more should be the guidance for FY27. Is that the right understanding, sir?
So we basically are on the right direction of understanding, but see, to the fine-tuning of the numbers, again, I'll tell you, will be more clearer once we acquire, say, first two assets, right? And then when we acquire, say, this two or three GR assets, what we are trying this quarter, I think then only we'll be able to give you a better, say, you know, guidance on the numbers. So I think that will be more clearer post-31st. So maybe just, you know, bear with us for the maybe two more months, and then with the next call, you'll be able to get a better guidance on that.
Okay. And what is the pipeline and guidance for acquisition of any non-GR assets?
So non-GR, I think this four is what we have done sign SPA. There are two, three more situations which we are looking at. And until unless we get into an SPA, we won't be able to tell you the exact name. But in terms of situations, yeah, there are two, three more situations which we are exploring. We might get a sign an SPA before this quarter also, by end of this quarter, maybe Q1 next year. But two, three more situations we are looking at.
Okay. We also saw some release of O&M reserve in cash flows. So the banks allow this exemption?
So it's basically what you keep at the SPV level, and banks fund at the InBIT level, right? So at the InBIT level, what is required, that has been kept at the SPV level. Suppose if on call, InBIT may require money to fund some acquisition and all, InBIT may call. And then SPV under the loan agreement can give, and then again can restore those, you know, O&M reserves.
Okay. And what is our incremental cost of borrowing, and how do we expect our overall cost of borrowing trajectory going forward?
So the trajectory what we look at is 6.85 to 7.1.
That's your incremental.
Yeah. So 6.85 to 7.1 is something what we are looking at.
Okay.
We are talking about 6.85. I think we most likely should be around that levels only. Yeah, because the market has tightened and I think because of the liquidity, so it should range between 6.85 to 7.1. That's what I think, guess I have.
These acquisitions which you have already announced, post that, how much will be your LTV?
It depends how much asset I'll be able to take. Suppose if I take three assets of GR and two assets of KNR, I should be around 50, 52, 53%.
No, after all the assets of KNR, and whatever you have announced for GR, how much should be
After all the KNR, basically this will be a process. We may have to go for a fundraising. How much fundraise you do, right?
Okay.
Depends, your leverage will come down. Everything is not that crystal clear now that, okay, if I take this asset, I'll get this. Because the entire acquisition can't be leveraged through the, can't happen through the, using complete leverage. You may have to go and do some fundraising. The initial, what is saying, happening for this quarter, if I do that, I'll be somewhere will be around, say, 52-53%.
Okay. This quarter we also saw much higher capital repayment. Going forward, how should we assume the split between, interest and interest stroke dividend and capital repayment?
It will be again predominantly interest and capital repayment. Dividend can be maybe post-acquisition you could see some dividend because some again your reserves get freed up and you just upstream it in the form of dividend. I don't see that going. Depends how many assets you are acquiring. Maybe a particular quarter you can see, for example, a higher dividend portion. For the year overall, if you see on a consolidated basis, that will be, I think, not more than 10-15%.
The capital repayment part or dividend part?
Dividend part.
Capital repayment part, sir?
Capital repayment and should be around, say, 30-35%, and balance will be
Of the total.
Yeah.
Okay, understood. Okay, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. Thanks.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Once again, a reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions, we have reached the end of question and answer session. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Amit Kumar Singh for closing comments.
Thanks, Anju, and thanks again everyone for joining this call. We'll keep you all posted on the further developments. If you have any queries, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. Thanks, everyone. Thanks again. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Indus Infra Trust, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.